It is Tuesday, the 4th of October 2022. Welcome everybody to our City of Melbourne Future Melbourne Committee meeting. It is meeting number 44 for the FMC and it's 5:30 p.m. Hello councillors, members of the public and management. It's great to be underway again. The City of Melbourne respectfully acknowledges the traditional owners of the land on which we govern, the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people and the Bunurong Boonwurrung peoples of the Eastern Kulin, and pays respects to their elders past and present. We acknowledge and honour the unbroken spiritual, cultural and political connection that the Wurundjeri, the Bunurong, the Dja Wurrung, the Tungurung and the Wadawurrung peoples have with this unique place called Melbourne, Naam, and have had for more than 2,000 generations. We are committed to our reconciliation journey here at the City of Melbourne, believing that every effort we make to advance relationships between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples has benefits for all Victorians. This meeting is being streamed live and an audio and video recording will be made available on our council website by close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will be made available on our website as soon as practicable. It's like a Joey. Bouncing in and bouncing out again. Can we please all check that our mobile phones are turned to silent or off for the duration of the meeting? That would be appreciated. Thank you very much. The agenda this evening comprises five reports from management for consideration and agenda item 6.6, opportunity for international engagement, has been withdrawn from the agenda for this evening. Apologies have been received from Councillors Chang and Leilu. We advise that where the committee makes a decision on the basis of fewer than six members voting in favour of it, then that decision could be referred by a councillor to council for decision. We are up to item two, which is disclosure of conflicts of interest. And councillors, please note that if you have either a general or material conflict of interest as defined in the Local Government Act 2020 in relation to a matter to be considered by the committee, please disclose the nature and type of your interest prior to consideration of the item. We are at item three, confirmation of minutes of previous meeting, and I'm calling on a councillor to help me by moving a motion adopting the minutes of open meeting number 43 held on Tuesday, the 20th of September, 2022. Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor, and a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Griffiths, thank you. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you, councillors. Are there any matters arising that you would like to discuss? None. Thank you. The following submission has been received in accordance with the council's governance rules in relation to the agenda this evening. For item 6.3, guidelines for holding events in open space, we've had items of correspondence from Jill Quirk and also from B. McNicholas, who's a director, walk in St Kilda Road and Environs. She's a convener for Heritage Planet Ark Tree, Planet Ark National Tree Day, Nature Care and Lighting, expert events and projects, campaign manager for the nomination of Melbourne Observatory for the UNESCO World Heritage Listing. Now, submitters will be invited to speak at the time that the relevant item is being considered on our agenda. There are 3 minutes to address the committee. We've got a bell to assist with the time as it counts down. If you can conclude your address at that time, I'm only hesitating because I don't think we've actually got any submitters. We've had the item of correspondence. But if we did have those, are the rules. We do move to public questions now with FMC, and we allow 15 minutes at the start and at the end for public questions. If we can please note, members of the public, that you can either submit a question in writing prior or you can attend and ask a question. It needs to be a question that doesn't relate to any of the items on the agenda this evening. Otherwise, it's effectively a submission. And if you do have a question, if you can keep the question to 90 seconds, that would be appreciated. We are noting that there are two public questions that have been received prior, one of which is going to be asked verbally and one will be read out. And when we do read these out, we're not attesting at all to the veracity or factual nature. We're literally reading them verbatim. And I believe that we're starting with that. Councillor Dr. Ball, your health, wellbeing and belonging portfolio lead, you're going to be reading that out now. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. We have received a question from Stuart Garford, and I will read his question verbatim. Are councillors aware of the recent mismanagement of Faulkner Park, the neglect of the park watering system, which has led to soccer and cricket being seriously affected? The massive waste of ratepayers' money on renovations, which have provided little to no benefit to park users, the planning errors, which have placed facilities in the wrong areas, which have now led to knock-on consequences, the disgraceful and disrespectful treatment of the Mercantile Cricket Association, which has lost the use of two grounds in Faulkner Park this season. And in response to Stuart's question, I have a written response kindly provided by Anthony Neal, our Director of Recreation and Waterways, who advises that Faulkner Park is a much-loved park loved by a diverse range of users. It is listed on the Victorian Heritage Register in recognition of its state significance. Its current and future management and investment is guided by the Faulkner Park Master Plan. The southern sports area, known as Lawn 20, is not available for use this season as it is currently being reconstructed, a $2 million project that will see the sports playing areas rebuilt with new irrigation, draining and turf profile. This much-needed upgrade will offer a significantly improved park area for community sport and all park use for a long time to come, unfortunately with temporary disruption and inevitable impact. Additionally, a review of what's called Lawn 17 has taken place in accordance with both the Cricket Australia Community Cricket Guidelines and the Municipal Association of Victorian Sporting Risk Resources, with this review identifying that this site, Lawn 17, is no longer suitable for adult community cricket competitions. Mercantile Cricket Association, who are impacted by these temporary works and change of use, will continue to have scheduled matches at 14 turf cricket grounds across the municipality for the upcoming season, including all turf cricket grounds in Faulkner Park, with their average weekly use, that is the average weekly use of the Mercantile Cricket Association across all venues, being 17 matches or around 120 hours per week. Officers are currently working with Cricket Victoria to determine other suitable and safe cricket uses for Lawn 17, including junior cricket and other forms of modified accessible cricket. Thank you, Anthony, for that response and to Stuart for your question. Shall I continue?
Sheila may be with us.
Sheila is.
And Sheila could come and ask her question, if that's okay with you, Sheila. And then Councillor Dr. Ball is going to respond. Thank you.
Mayor and councillors, I've been before here and in a couple of other places, and I have been a faithful follower by the Zoom. I live in Kensington and have done so since 1972. So I had the benefit of meeting Peter McIntyre and taking part in the process of the 1974 strategy plan, and Kensington was a particular area which had its own action plan group. Lorinda Gardner was the very young staffer from the City of Melbourne who saw us through our learning about planning. I'm asking a question about the media report on asbestos causing delays in the swim centre revamp, as Herald Sun yesterday. I am familiar with Participate Melbourne. I've read what is said there. It is a concern to me that, Lord Mayor, you're quoted by the Herald Sun saying that the asbestos poses no health risk, but the affected soil must be removed by a licensed removalist. Now, there's also reference on Participate Melbourne to the reliability of the contractors, McCorkle. Now, I wonder whether the council will reveal to us what monitoring is to occur by the council that the removal will be done correctly. I recall that when Bill Devaney was a councillor and they were demolishing the beef cattle sheds on what is Kensington Banks, the contractors ploughed the asbestos into the ground. So I ask my question, what will council reveal what monitoring is to occur about the efficacy of the removal?
Good. Thank you very much, Sheila, and lovely to see you in person. Thank you for your ongoing support of our and interest in our activities. Councillor Dr. Ball, I believe you're going to respond to this question.
Yes, thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you very much, Sheila, for your very important question. We can understand why the community would be keenly interested in this process. I have a response with some details for you provided by Jonathan Kamboulos, who is the Director of our City Projects. He writes, the environmental assessments identified some asbestos-contaminated material in soil samples at the site of the old and now new Kensington Community Aquatic and Recreation Centre. The material is bound within cement, which reduces the potential for airborne asbestos fibres to be released. While the asbestos poses no health risk to the community, the site is being managed in accordance with the requirements of the Environment Protection Act of 2017, the Occupational Health and Safety Regulations of 2017, and WorkSafe Victoria compliance codes. The contaminated soil around the proposed structure of the new centre will be removed by a licensed asbestos removalist with air monitors and dust suppression measures in place to ensure the safety of local residents. Once removed, a separation layer will be installed between the existing soil and the new foundations of the centre. Thank you, Sheila. Back to you, Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Dr. Ball. I was just checking that that answered the question that Sheila had, which was how we're going to ensure that we monitor that that is done properly. But I think, Sheila, we're on notice and that's something that we'll continue to monitor.
The answer mentions air monitors that will be in place throughout the process. But I'm very happy to hear from you at any point, Sheila, or anyone else in the Kensington community, if you would like updates or any further detail.
Thank you, Councillor Dr. Ball. Well, we still have time now to see if there are any other questions from the public, and we'd love to hear from you. We've got another 15 minutes at the end for any questions. None at this stage? Yes, there is. Please come and say your name and tell us your question. Would you mind going into the microphone?
Thank you.
Because
I wasn't
it means people online can hear you as well.
Right, yes, thank you. Paul Kavanagh, resident of Parkville. I wasn't going to ask a question, but something's been really on my mind since I came back a year ago from 2 years stuck in Turkey during the COVID situation. When I came back, I found that Melbourne is much dirtier than it was before. There's mess everywhere. I'm a proud Melbournean, but I'm always defending it against its reputation against people that have come from interstate and other places saying, what's happened to our city? And I don't know what to say. There's bottles, there's mess, there's cartons, there's McDonald's stuff, there's trolleys, shopping trolleys left everywhere around Parkville in particular, but also the city centre. And I just wonder what's happening and what can be done about it.
Yeah. Paul, thank you so much and for being such a proud Melburnian. I think for all of us here, that's one of the most frustrating bits of feedback we get because not only are we proud Melburnians and we want to see it clean, but as local government, we are responsible for keeping our city clean. To give you some indications, we're spending more than we ever have before on keeping our city streets clean. We've also had a graffiti blitz to address tagging, and that is ongoing. We've just increased our budget this year again to ensure that we can do extra waste removal of public rubbish bins at peak times on weekends and around major events. The best thing at this point, given we're record spending, is that when you see something, if you let us know, we do have a rapid response clean team that can come. We have been talking about how do we engender pride more broadly so that people are more thoughtful about what they do with their waste in the first place. Don't put it, well, put it in a bin. If that bin's full, put it in another bin. Let us know that bins need to be emptied. Tell us if you see mess in the streets. And I know that's frustrating, but it's something that we're doing all day, every day as well. And we do have a very responsive team. Justin, our CEO, and the team are very conscious as well and as dedicated as you are and we are to a clean city. So we're really asking people to be our eyes and ears so that we can respond as rapidly as possible to those situations. And our website is set up for that now. So very much hear your plea, understand your frustration. Thank you for your pride in representing and defending us. And please let us know when you see those situations so that we can fix them. And we will continue our efforts to keep this city clean. Thank you. And lovely to see you here tonight. Thank you for that. If there are no other questions, we're going to move on to reports from management. Agenda item 6.1, Hardware Lane Design Update. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation on this item? No, thank you. Then I'm going to move this motion and I'm looking for a councillor, please, to second the motion. Thank you very much, Councillor Griffiths. Well, I'm really pleased to move this motion this evening. I know that Hardware Lane is an iconic part of our city and that the discussions and plans for how we can continue to invest, to upgrade and to future-proof this part of our city have been underway for some time. Thank you, Jocelyn Chu and your team, for bringing us these latest plans for the engagement that has been underway. And for the thoughtful way in which you are planning for the future of Hardware Lane. It is one of our top destinations and it has therefore, I think, added pressure in terms of what we expect for our traders and what we expect for visitors, what we expect for people using the area day to day, whether you're a resident, student or worker. And I think it's that high visibility but high usability that has particularly driven the design outcomes and the investment. So it's $2 million to revitalise this important part of our city. And as I said, to future-proof it for decades to come. I'm really pleased that central elements of the project include the greening of this laneway. I think something that is an expectation of so many of our locals and visitors, and the catenary. There are so many ways of saying it, but it's the lighting. I hope not only adds to the atmosphere and the safety, but I really hope it adds to the Instagrammable element of this famous place, and lighting often has the opportunity to do that. But for me, it's the bluestone, which is iconically Melbourne for this iconic place. It's the greening, it's the lighting, and I think also the delineation between, because this is a shared laneway, automobiles and pedestrian activity adds to the safety. I know that red bricks have been associated with Hardware Lane for a long time now, but they're not workable, usable or safe, and tire very easily, and being able to look forward to with confidence to the way that the city, this laneway presents, but the ways in which it can be used as well, is a great outcome for the city ongoing and particularly for local traders. Thank you for already undertaking the stormwater drainage upgrades and the tree irrigation systems. That sets it up well for the next stage of work And we're really looking forward to seeing that happen. The last note is I know that a lot of the current feedback is from traders concerned about disruption, and I note the pledge and commitment to minimise that as much as possible, particularly as many are still recovering from the biggest disruption in their trading lives, but also as we head into the busiest and most vibrant time of the year as well. For all of those reasons, I'm happy to be moving, and to you, Councillor Griffiths, thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. A very complete moving of the motion there, and I'm certainly very happy to second it. I'm not so brave as to take on the description of the lighting, but it's fantastic to see all of the other works that have gone on. So a big thank you to the team that's made sure that that's happened. It's a great example of how the team here at the City of Melbourne were getting on with a whole lot of work while the city was in lockdown, and hopefully that will mean that we can minimise the interruption as we head into some very busy trading periods for the businesses up on Hardware Lane. I went up there today for a bit of a walk between some of our meetings, and it's just such a fantastic space to be in, but certainly the footpaths are in need of a spruce up at the moment, and it's wonderful to be able to walk down that space with my little iPad and be able to see the plans for what's going to be coming in that space. Hopefully it's something that excites the traders down there and gives them even more reasons to be optimistic about the Christmas and summer period that's coming up for them. So a big thank you to the team that's got the work done, and a big thank you to everyone who's responded in the surveys and helped to guide this work. It's an exciting project, and I'm happy to second the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Griffiths. Are there any other speakers to this motion? None, then I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. This brings us to item 6.2, Zero Carbon Buildings for Melbourne discussion paper. Would councillors like a presentation on this item? No, then I'm looking, thank you, for a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Deutsch, thank you, and a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Leppert, back to you, Councillor Deutsch.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. So the City of Melbourne, along with, you know, state and federal governments, have all got really ambitious targets to reduce our emissions. And I think this is particularly important for the City of Melbourne, and particularly the sustainable building portfolio, because, as this motion mentions, over 66% of the city's carbon emissions are coming from the built environment. And they're coming from the operations of the existing built environment. So we're not talking about embodied carbon here. So the way to respond to this is by improving energy efficiency in our buildings and upgrading the building envelope. And I think that might seem straightforward to a lot of people, but acknowledging that we need to retrofit 77 buildings a year to meet our emissions reductions targets, this is not going to be an easy task, especially because we're certainly not retrofitting 77 buildings a year at the moment. And when I say we, I don't necessarily mean the City of Melbourne, but I mean the property sector in general. So this discussion paper proposes a number of options that at a local government level we can be doing to incentivise, you know, these building upgrades, these absolutely important building upgrades. And importantly, you know, this motion kicks off tonight, the consultation and the stakeholder engagement process. And I've got to give a bit of a shout out to the team who have put together a lot of work. Because, I mean, we've already been through a massive stakeholder engagement process, and just getting to this point, you know, these options didn't just pop out of fresh air. Where's John over there? You know, there's been a lot of research and work put into this so far. So, also I wanted to mention, like, you know, I'm incredibly proud of this work. Much like Power Melbourne, you know, not only are we tackling a really important issue, but it's also very complex. And I think that's something beautiful about local government, because we're able to take issues like this and really work with the community at a very grassroots level and produce some amazing outcomes. And I think we're able to do it in a much more tangible way than state and federal governments are. So I'm really glad that that we're doing this. And I'm actually genuinely looking forward to the consultation process as well, and seeing kind of what comes out of that. So thank you to everyone again who's worked on this. Cheers.
Thanks, Councillor Deutsch. Over to you, Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And one of the people who has worked on this is our portfolio lead, Councillor Deutsch, so I want to also thank her for her leadership in this space. and her passion for reducing Melbourne's carbon footprint in the construction sector and in our existing building stock. She does extraordinary work, so thank you. I completely agree. I've got very little to add given how comprehensive Councillor Deutsch was, but I do really emphasise that this consultation process can take us anywhere. We do know that the property sector in particular doesn't necessarily always like being told what's about to happen to them. This can be as collaborative a process as they'd like it to be. We do want to test a whole lot of ideas so that we know that when we choose which ideas to pursue, there's as much ownership over why we're pursuing that particular solution as there possibly can be. So I really hope that this discussion paper, which is beautifully well written, and I do thank the team as well, prompts the discussions that we need to have. And if there's things that are missing, let's hear them. But those seven ideas, there's quite a few obvious ones in there, some less obvious ones in there. What's going to work? What might not work? How can we make sure that this is going to get us onto that community and council target that we've all set for ourselves to reduce those emissions, acknowledging that commercial buildings are 60% of our emissions profile? And how can we do that together? So I'm really optimistic and excited about this process and look forward to seeing what comes back on the other side.
Thank you. Are there other councillors, any other councillors that would like to comment on this paper? I wanted to say a couple of things. One is this is the biggest chunk of the conundrum challenge that we face as we move towards our targets of 100% renewable energy across the municipality by 2030 and also zero net carbon emissions by 2040. What's really terrific about the paper, and congratulations everybody involved, is that these are practical, achievable, impactful steps that we can take as a city to support activity across the property sector. I'm very conscious that as developers deliver new buildings, they are meeting very high standards around sustainability and climate change mitigation and adaptation. But our biggest focus needs to be on existing buildings, and this paper goes a long way to having those pragmatic ideas that should really support change. But importantly, it's about action, and I think there's a great element and tone of urgency in here and really setting out what that challenge is and how quickly we need to act, not just to reach the targets we've set, but we've set those targets because that's what we need to do to ensure that we have a sustainable future. And I'm really looking forward to that engagement we're going to have with organisations that can actually make a difference here, working together with us. So well done to my councillor colleagues, well done to the team, and this is a really important paper focused on actions and outcomes. So thank you very much. I'll be supporting it this evening. Did the Deputy Lord Mayor want to say something? Of course.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I always think it's good when the Lord Mayor concludes these debates, but I'll add in some couple of quick words if that's okay. This is an excellent bit of work. Congratulations to the officers. Congratulations to Councillor Deutsch for her leadership on this. This is a big task, a big job for Melbourne, big job for Victoria, big job for Australia. The truth is the City of Melbourne cannot do this alone. We don't have all the levers that are needed. We can't make all the interventions that are required to achieve the zero carbon building future that Australia has to get to. From the Commonwealth level, it was excellent to recently see the approval of the new National Construction Code, which will see the introduction of a 7-star NABERS rating on residential buildings. We would like to see this now extended to commercial buildings as well. At a state government level, we've seen some positive developments recently. It would be terrific to see the state government approve Amendment C376 for sustainable building design. We still have a number of weeks before Victoria will go into caretaker mode, and I do think it's vitally important that we see the state government approve that amendment so that it can progress to public exhibition stage. the amendment will ensure that new buildings and major developments improve their environmental performance. There's a lot of great policy thinking that's gone into it. It's a logical next step for planning regulation and design in the central city. And it would be great to see the Victorian Government join with us and support that initiative.
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. Any other speakers to this motion? All those in favour, please raise your hands now. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thanks to everyone involved. We're up to agenda item 6.3, guidelines for holding events in open space. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation? Nope. Then I am calling on a councillor to move the motion.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. An alternative motion. I'll move that motion. There it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Leppert. Moving an alternative motion. I'm looking for a councillor to second that motion, Councillor Deutsch. So over to you, Councillor Leppert. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. These guidelines for holding events in open space replace the sustainability guidelines for holding events in parks and gardens, which were conceded in 2007 and have well and truly past time for a review, but actually those guidelines have served the city and event applicants really, really well. And so that's why it's been quite a while since we've reviewed them, because actually sometimes we get the policy so well, right, that they operate for many, many years without any particular problem. There has been a need for review now, though, and the proposal here is to revoke the old guidelines and apply some new ones. We have increasing pressure on our parks and gardens post-COVID, just in use generally, but also in requests for events. We want to make sure that the guidelines on how to ensure that those events are low impact on the environment are as robust and up-to-date as they possibly can be. And, of course, the guidelines are necessary given we've recently updated our event partnership guidelines, and we just do have new and varied events coming through the mix, and so it's important that we have up-to-date rules. These guidelines have gone through consultation with the Parks and Gardens Advisory Committee and our experts in the branch. I can't see Kelly Herzog. I can actually, and thank you, Angela, as well. I can see here as well. You've done an extraordinary job, so thank you to everyone who's been involved in this process. The Parks and Gardens Advisory Committee chopped out the word sustainability. That's so that we don't confuse these guidelines with the sustainability criteria that come with event partnership sponsorships and so on. I think that's a good change. But all of those parks, whether they're capital city scale, municipal scale, local, neighbourhood, they've all been reassessed for the sort of impact that they can withstand and what the appropriate level of cumulative impact over the year of events should be. So it's a behind-the-scenes, pretty low-key document, but it actually hopefully will be doing as much heavy lifting over the next 10, 15 years as the last version has done and served us so well. We have had a couple of submissions suggesting that we need new sections to talk about how heritage parks might apply differently. I just make the point clearly that these guidelines for events in parks and gardens, which are about impact on the grass and trees and soil compaction, the impact on the environment, there are separate statutory processes about where the heritage values are so high that you need a permit or a permit exemption to hold an event or use semi-permanent structures in a park. This document will not in any way supplement those statutory processes. It doesn't in any way supplement the requirement to get a place of public entertainment permit and so on. So this document shouldn't do more than it says, and so there's a slight amendment here which just points out that there are separate statutory processes that may need to be followed. I commend the document to the council.
Thank you, Councillor Leppert. Councillor Deutsch.
Thanks, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Leppert. Well, I think Councillor Leppert has done this document very good service, but I just wanted to add that, you know, Open spaces are incredibly important, and that makes this document very important. You know, they're there for everyone to enjoy, not just the community, not just the public, but they also play an important role in facilitating some very cool events, might I say, and some very significant events to the City of Melbourne. So it's entirely necessary that we have a framework that is entirely fit for purpose. You know, Councillor Leppert's given the guidelines, or the previous guidelines, a pretty solid wrap, which I think is very sweet. But I do need to mention that, yeah, they have been in place since 2007, so it's entirely appropriate that they're being revisited. You know, and I'm actually looking forward to working with David Keller on the team with this one. Really good. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Deutsch, any other speakers to this motion on open spaces, use of open space? Nope. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hand. It's unanimous, so we declare it carried. Thank you. Item 6.4 is the Domestic Animal Management Plan 2022 to 2025. And I'm seeking a whether anybody wants a presentation, firstly. No? Dean, you're off the hook. We are seeking a councillor to move the motion. Thank you, Councillor Dr. Ball, and a councillor to second. Thank you, Councillor Hakim. Councillor Dr. Ball.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'm very pleased to move this Domestic Animal Management Plan, or DAMP. It concerns only cats and dogs within our municipality, both stray or wild or unowned, and those that are owned and loved. And it is a broad-reaching document which may be of interest to the, to you. We have recently expanded the number of off-leash dog park areas for dog walkers. Some of them have time limits, and they are detailed in this plan, including adjustments for daylight saving. And the objectives of this plan, both to comply with the relevant laws, but also to go above and beyond those compliance obligations. And our objectives include reducing dog attacks, reducing other nuisances and dangers, increasing public safety and amenity, reducing barking, reducing the euthanasia of animals, and increasing microchipping, desexing, registration, socialising and training of animals, and overall responsible ownership of dogs and cats. We want to increase the direct return of lost or abandoned pets to their owners, and ensure that we make prompt response and investigation of all complaints regarding nuisances and concerns about dogs and cats. We also want to increase awareness of the benefits of registration. Of course, local government is where you register your dog and cat. We have seen a huge number of increase in dog and cat ownership in the last few years. Of course, under the COVID pandemic, this has been much commented upon. We've seen an increase in, of course, registered pets, and we want people to understand the benefits of those, of registering your pets. And that includes things that perhaps many of us don't think about, such as what happens in the case of an emergency. And it was in just such a health, public health emergency under COVID that council stepped in, and when whole buildings, hundreds of people were in lockdown, specific building lockdowns, for instance, that council staff were walking the dogs in those buildings that they still needed walking, and taking them to vet appointments and ensuring their health care. And other kinds of emergencies that we could conceive of, where we need to know where pets are and where they're needed and how they can be looked after. And there are special measures in this plan concerning making provisions for pet owners who are on low incomes or, in fact, are sleeping rough. And we understand that the pets of people who are homeless are just as important, if not more important, to them in those circumstances. And also, we're concerned with training our staff for responding appropriately to domestic violence, because there's a particular role that domestic and family violence can pets can have a particular role in those circumstances of conflict and violence that our staff need to be aware of. So it is, as you can see, a wide-ranging plan. And I thank all of our staff who've been responsible in formulating the plan and implementing it every single day on our streets. We also want to thank responsible pet owners for everything you do to make the City of Melbourne a wonderful place and compatible for all uses. And to thank the vets who collaborate with us on managing lost and abandoned animals and providing free or discounted healthcare where it's needed, and, of course, the Lost Dogs Home, which is our impounding organisation that we contract with. So thank you to all of those players and stakeholders, and to Dean Robertson especially.
Thank you very much, Councillor Dr. Ball. Councillor Hakim.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Dr. Ball. I couldn't have put it better myself, so I echo all those comments and just want to add my thanks to the team, to Dean and Linda and the team and everyone who has been part of this. Thanks to everybody who has engaged in providing feedback for this as well. Pets, cats and dogs and other pets make up such an important part of our households and our community, so it's great to be able to provide facilities such as dog parks, and we know that that's a growing need, so that's really terrific also to make it clear as part of how we're engaging with that through this. I'm happy to second this motion. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Hakim. Are there any other speakers to this motion? I was just going to add that I do really appreciate the efforts that have gone into the domestic animal management plan, because the number of pets that we have in our city has risen exponentially, and the effort that goes into being a pet-friendly city for everyone is more comprehensive, broad and deep than I ever would have imagined. And so I think it is items like this that really certainly make me appreciate the extent of the services and programs that we administer here at the City of Melbourne. And, you know, say the majority of the population are pet-loving as well, so they would expect that sense of responsibility from us. So thank you to everybody involved. I'll be supporting this motion this evening. If there are no other speakers, I'll put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. Agenda item 6.5, which is the funding support requests October 2022. Would anybody like a presentation on this item? Nope. Then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion, Councillor Hakim, and a councillor to second the motion. Thank you, Councillor Dr. Ball. Back to you, Councillor Hakim.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. This motion is a small token of support for two events tabled here tonight. So one tables at the Law Enforcement Torch Run Gala Ball. It celebrates the achievements of people with a disability and particularly raises awareness for and funding for Special Olympic athletes across Victoria. A second purchases for a fundraising dinner supporting pancreatic cancer research at the Epworth Hospital. Thank you to Ing for bringing this important work to our notice and for your work here. I think importantly, you know, this is, our city is a meeting place and the place where people come to make things happen, whether it's about inclusion and sport or health research and innovation. It all happens in our city, so it's great to see events such as these active and growing. So I'm happy to commend this motion to you, councillors.
Thanks, Councillor Hakim. Councillor Dr. Ball.
Thank you. I have nothing to add, but very happy to second this motion and support these community events. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm looking to see if there are any other councillors wishing to speak to these two proposed funding requests. No, I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour? Unanimous. We declare that motion carried. Thank you, councillors. This does conclude reports from management for consideration on our agenda this evening. There are no items of general business for consideration. Councillors, was there any urgent business that you would like considered? No. Then it leaves us with public question time again to our members of the public who have or who are here this evening. Would anybody like to ask a question at this point? No, thank you. then thank you for coming. Thank you for your interest. Thanks to all of our officers and management team and councillors. And we're declaring the meeting closed at 6:14 p.m. Thank you very much.